it is to be in the pulpit. And so as you decide that you want to come back, of course I made that decision several months ago. The doctors didn't agree, but I was ready to come back. They finally said okay and relented. I planned on singing even today, but that even had to get changed because the doctor over there decided that was a little bit too much. So you get the Word of God, and I'm thankful. This is a message that's been on my heart for several months, and so as I've prepared to deliver it to you today, I just pray that God would speak through me and that His love would be heard through the words that I speak to you today. But the real gist of it is, why do you go to church? Why is it that we're here together today? And so I want us to look at some of those reasons, what the Bible tells us. You know, the answers to life's questions are contained within this book. They're all there, actually. There is not a question about life that you and I can't find if we don't search His Word. And today we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2. Verses 41 and 42 and 46. Let's read that together. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And verse 46, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. So what is the church? Why is it important that we gather to it, that we are supposed to get from this experience? Or what are we supposed to give, more importantly? And I think the first thing that I want you to understand is that, you know, that's a picture of the front of the church from the road. Actually, I think that's the old cross, isn't it, Keith? I think that's the old one. Of course, it's been replaced. But the idea that I'm trying to get across with showing you that picture is that the church is not a building. The church is not this building that has stood here, or parts of it have stood here for 150 years. It's not the institution of Liberty Baptist Church of Blanchard or the American Baptist Churches of Pennsylvania and Delaware. The church is not a place that I go to. The church is you and I together in fellowship. It's a spiritual family that I belong to. And you find that out very quickly when some type of illness or circumstance struggles and attacks you and your family. And I got to find that out in January and February as you all surrounded my wife and daughter and stood with her as we didn't really know what was going on. I certainly didn't. And as I laid in that hospital bed for 2 weeks and had the strokes that I had, the seizure, whatever, all the things of life, I didn't know whether I was still going to be here and whether I could take care of my family. But you all were where you needed to be. The definition, as we see in Acts chapter 2, of a church is a group of baptized believers who join together in a commitment to help each other fulfill God's five purposes for their lives. If I were to call one of you out right now and ask you, what is the purpose of your life? Why are you alive? What is it that you're supposed to do? Many of you would struggle with answering that question. Matter of fact, that's probably the number one question that most people ask when they come to see their pastor, or they come into the office, or they are searching the Word. Why am I here? What is it that I'm supposed to do? Well, your purpose as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a member of this church, is to help each other do five things. The first of those five things is to focus on God. You're supposed to remind us when we're going through those struggles, when we're going through those joys, when we see all the good and we see the bad, remind us to focus on God. You're to help face life's problems. We work together so that we can work through all of the problems of life. The Bible doesn't tell us that we're going to have an easy street to get to heaven. Matter of fact, it's pretty clear, but it's going to be a rough road. Because Satan doesn't come after you when you're following him. He comes after you when you're following Jesus. And so if you're following Jesus, if you're a member of our church, guess what? You're going to be attacked. And we have to help each other through those attacks. We have to help fortify our faith together. The third thing. One of the things that I have adopted as a cornerstone of my ministry is that the church is going to be a place for you to belong. And so our job as Christians with each other is to help to find a place to make a difference for each person who comes in this door. Each believer that goes through this baptismal or wherever it is that they go, that they can find a place to make a difference and to fulfill their life mission. The church is important. You and I, our lives, our work together is important. And so as we look at the Word of God and we analyze, what does that mean? You know, we've spent a lot of money, we've spent a lot of time, I've lost a lot of hair and have more gray hairs trying to keep the technology going to keep us connected over these last 5-6 years. Because we need to stay connected. We need to stay connected no matter what the adversity. And we need to be firm with what God says about the church and the Word where it's firm, and we need to be flexible when the Word is flexible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, the Bible says, "So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." I had a high school classmate that called me this week. He's a career firefighter. He's actually a captain, one of three, in a fairly large city in West Virginia. He's really done well for himself. But he's like, what am I accomplishing? What is my calling in life? You know, not everybody is called to be a preacher. Not everybody is called to be an electrician or to be a whatever you are in life. An accountant, a farmer. But whatever you are, whatever you have been called to do, do it all for the glory of God. So should you be in church? Should I stay home and watch on Facebook? Or should I come to this building? Should I gather together? What should I do? As you make that decision, you need to be making a decision that is glorifying God. And you shouldn't be doing it out of selfish desire. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible tells us very clearly, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." The motivation to stay home and watch on Facebook or to watch on TV rather than come to this place and be here physically with each other, is it because it's for the glory of God, or is it because it's easier for you? Is it because it's easier to sit at home in my pajamas and watch on Facebook than it is to come and be together with other Christians? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, Paul was very clear when he told the church not to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Gather together. You know, we have, and we continue to work with small groups. We try to establish these Bible studies over the last several years. One that has been very successful has been our Thrive Women's Group that Greta has led. And when that group gets together and they're reading the Word, they are working through life's problems. And they're doing it through reading Scripture. They're looking at how someone else may interpret it, but they're looking at what it is the Bible tells them to do to face problems in their lives. Why do you need to come? Why can't you just stay at home and watch on TV or watch on Facebook? Again, you can. If it's for the glory of God. If it's for the glory of God. If you're doing it and your purpose is, hey, there's no other way I can stay connected with my church family right now. I need to be connected. And you do it that way, that's fine. But here's the real reason why. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, the Bible tells us that each of us should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You have a gift. Yes, you have a gift. Every single one of you who hear my voice have a gift that was given to you by God. And that gift fits in some place, right? You've seen the design that I have of our logo. It's puzzle pieces. In case you haven't seen it, go look it up. And your piece fits in exactly with somebody else's piece to make the perfect picture of Christ show up in our community. You can't share your gift if you're by yourself at home. You know, there are people that come and argue with me that, oh, I can be a Christian and I don't have to go to church. Church is where all the troublemakers are. And everything about it's just imperfect. It's awful. All the pain in my Christian life has come from being in a church, from attending a building. Well, the first thing that I tell them is there is no such thing as a perfect church. There never has been. When Christ took his 12 disciples and things got rough, what happened with those disciples? They abandoned him. The other thing I tell them is there'll never be such a thing as a perfect church because as soon as you show up, it just became imperfect. You know, they want to be, it's sort of like they want to be a Christian, they want to have that title, they want to have that crown that they can wear, but it's like somebody wanting to join the Navy, but they don't want to serve on a ship. If you're in the Navy, you have a duty to go out on the ship and do something, right? Well, guess what? If God makes you understand that you need to be a Christian, you got to go get in a place where you can serve, where you can use those gifts. You need to be in a relationship and in a place of spiritual authority. The church gathers to give God the glory that He's due. And we also gather to remember the greatness of God. We remember the greatness of God. If you walk in this place and you don't remember that Jesus Christ died on a cross so that you can have hope of an everlasting life and you don't have to worry about death, and you know that you're going to see your relatives and your loved ones again, but more importantly that you're going to be in the presence of God, then you need to find another church. Because I haven't done my job. That's on me. You need to be reminded of the love of God and His strength. But you need to also come to church to remind yourself how to act. Well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I mean that if you look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, this is what they tell us. They tell us that we need to be careful and we need to encourage each other daily, as long as it is called today, so long that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. If you're not around Christians, guess what happens? You forget how to act like a Christian. Love is not a natural part of the world. Did you hear me? Love is not a natural part of the world. If you don't come to a place like this, you don't get to see love. You get sick, something happens, you have a stroke, you don't get flooded with cards. What's your niece's name? Joel. That sent me the card, Peg.
Oh, Jalen.
Jalen. I have that card like every day when I sit down. I look at it. And I remember that little girl who's, what, 6, 7 years old, remembered me and thought about me and wanted to make sure that I was okay. That's not normal. In today's world, today's culture, they're taught to avoid strangers, aren't they? Individualism. We're supposed to take care of ourselves. We're not supposed to worry about anybody else. That's why you see all the community groups failing. Because we've been taught for the last 25 years in our schools and in our education system and in our lives that we're supposed to get everything we can for us to the detriment of the other person. That's what the world teaches, but God says that we're supposed to remind ourselves how to act. The church is God's family. God has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family. When you go to bed tonight, when you leave this place, know that you're a part of God's family. We all are. That's why you go to church. The church is the reason that God created the universe. It goes all the way back to Genesis. The entire book of the Bible is about the church. God created us to do what? Be in relationship with Him. And then He sent Jesus to do what? To give us a way to have that relationship. So that He could be in the presence of perfection again. Because Christ chose us. Number 4, Jesus died for His church. He died for us. He loved His church and He gave Himself for it. He died so that we could give, He could give the church to Himself like a bride in all of her beauty. He died so that the church could be pure and without fault. That's in Ephesians 5, verse 25 and 27. You know, we talk about it as a kid. You know, I love my wife. You all know that. We talk in our love language sometimes. I would die for you, you know. You would die for me. I would take on whatever illness or affliction that you have so that you could feel better. Right? If you've loved someone, you've said those things. God did it. He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross so that you and I could have a hope of eternal life. He took away our impurities. He didn't just talk about it. He did it. The church is the only thing on earth that will last forever. That nice house you have, it's going to burn up when you cast fire upon the earth. All that money that you've got in the bank, not worth anything. Everything that you have is worth nothing. The only thing that will last forever. Glory will belong to God in His church and Christ Jesus for all time and eternity, says that in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. We will be with the Lord forever, so guess what? We will be able to be with Him, as He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So we're going to live forever. Church is going to be there forever. It's the only group that Jesus said would succeed. You know, we've got some pretty athletic youth in our church. We've got people in our families that, you know, I like to watch football. We've got some basketball and some softball and other people. We've got the Olympics going on right now. But the church is the only group that Jesus said would succeed. As much as I pray for him to intervene and to help my Mountaineers when they're playing football and basketball, he never said in the Bible that the Mountaineers would win. He did say the church would win. He said, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. He said that in Matthew 16, verse 18. You know what? We're also the only, you know, we're the only group that's big enough to solve the world's problems. The church is the only group big enough to solve the world's problems. By his mighty power at work within us, God is able to accomplish infinitely more than we would ever dare to ask or hope, it says in Ephesians 3:20. It's a privilege to be here. I can tell you those words speaking through my mouth mean more to me today than they did in January. But it is a privilege to be here and to be a part of God's church. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3, it says, God has given us the privilege of being born again, so that we are now members of God's own family. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God? All of us together are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God lives in you. We have a job to do as the church. Why do you go to church? Well, to glorify God. You need to be reminded about God's power, and you also need to be reminded how to be a Christian. You know, this really shouldn't be called the sanctuary or the worship center. It's the reminding center. This is the memory center. Because it's to remind us of God's power. This building has stood for 150 years despite all the adversities of the world around us. Think about that. There's a school up here by the post office that didn't make it that long. It's still standing, but it's not a school. They're changing it into apartments. What made me think about all this, what is the church and what is its importance in our community, is we have cameras now in the church, and one of the cameras is out watching the Coke machine. Well, kids come and buy Coke out of that Coke machine. And a couple of those kids were out there talking, and they were like, I heard they're going to tear down this church. What's that church? What do they do at this church? What's it all about? They're going to be the first couple. As soon as I'm released to go visiting again, I know where they live. If they don't know what the purpose of this church is, we got a job to do. We got a job to do. When I first came here, I went to the post office. I think I've shared this with you all. And I was just standing there trying to meet people, because I'm, you know, extrovert like that, so I just go up and introduce myself. So, you're the pastor? Where are you pastor of? The Liberty Baptist Church. I had no idea where Liberty Baptist Church was. At the Blanchard Post Office. I went home and told Greta, I said, you're not going to believe this. How does this happen? A $250,000 gymnasium sitting over here. They've invested in the community, and people don't know where Liberty Baptist Church is. I will also say they don't know where the Church of Christ is either. Because they just really know us by, you know, you got the cemetery? Yeah. We both have cemeteries. One's on that end of town, this one's on this end of town. They don't know our name, but they know where the church or the cemetery. Why do you go to church? Why are you here? Remind yourself how powerful God is. Remind yourself what it is that you're supposed to do as a Christian. Every week, That's what we're here for, to help remind each other. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, if you don't know Jesus Christ, do not leave this place today without learning more about it. We're going to have communion after we have this invitation hymn. But the fact of the matter is that you can't get to heaven. You can't be a part of this eternal life that we keep talking about unless you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And we went through the very beginning of our service. You all were here. We went through that big long thing that we recited, right? What's that all about? Well, that's a covenant that we make with each other. And that's nothing more than a promise from God's Word that we're going to help take care of each other as we go through this life. And you've made some promises if you're a member of our church. You've made some promises. One of those is you're going to be faithful to God's commandment to be here, to be connected, to be under spiritual authority of leaders in our church so that you can be reminded of God's power and reminded of what you need to do to act and to live like a Christian. And church. As we stand and sing our invitation hymn, not even sure what it is. The old rugged cross. Okay? Amen. It's probably down the Jackson version, I hope. No? Yeah?